member-supported Hawaii Public Radio and All Things Considered. I'm Dave Florence. Over the last few days, Living Color has been in town. They are through tonight at the Blue Note. New album is Shade. It's due in September, and it's been due for a while. I got the go-to guy to find out about that and everything Living Color. It's Vernon Reed. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And Shade, when's it coming out?
Slated for early September, and I think we're going to hold to it. It's been a long, strange trip to get it done.
Very Grateful Dead-esque way of describing it. What informs making it that? Is it you're redoing a song, you're not happy with an arrangement, different kinds of material you want it to all be encapsulated with?
I think it's all of the above. We started out with the inspiration of playing a Robert Johnson Centennial, and that was a number of years ago at the Apollo. The idea was this is something about the blues and hard rock and metal, that there's a relationship that's kind of been disconnected. To have that narrative inform what the band is doing with this record, but not to make a blues rock record. Like, we have a song called Two Sides. George Clinton actually is a guest, does his kind of Phantom of the Opera voiceover on top of my guitar solo. But there's a line in the song that I think is so applicable that Corey sings, and it's nostalgia for things that never happened. And this was done long before there was this Make America Great Again campaign. And it's funny how the narrative of the blues, the narrative of the African-American experience filtered through rock, metal, blues, whatever. Part of the Make America Great Again is like, exactly when are you talking about that? Like,
which era?
Which era? How do we fit into your idea of greatness, you know?
When we're stealing the land from the natives, or when we're hauling people over in ships, which part of that?
Yeah, which one, you know? One aspect of Living Color's music is we would do things without thinking about a temporal thing, like a song like Time's Up. When Corey came with the lyrics, and the lyrics were about the environment, the song Time's Up from the album Time's Up is more relevant now than when it was written.
Another thing that connects that album to this one, that just by your conversation, is that album you had some really massive guests on too. Little Richard.
Yeah, that was pretty unbelievable to have Little Richard come in and do the rhyme on Elvis's Dad.
Take us into it.
There was an infamous hotel, the Hyatt on Sunset, nicknamed the Riot House.
Yeah, the Zeppelin era.
Oh my goodness. Richard Pennyman, aka Little Richard, he lived in the Hyatt Hotel. And we were summoned. We literally were staying there to play a show. We got this call. Mr. Pennyman wants to see all of you. And it was like, actually, he wanted to see Corey. And Corey said, I'm not going into that room by myself. So we went up. It was rather solemn. He was very serious. And he was like, so I see what you boys are doing. I want to tell you, I believe in what y'all are doing. And I'm one of the people that started this thing. And y'all are
keeping the flame.
Talk about a benediction. I mean, it was pretty
unbelievable.
Yeah, we all walked out of the room pretty much dazed. One of the things that stays with me.
Forever. Dial forward to the George. When did he arrive into your life?
Well, my very first concert I ever attended was Funkadelic. Oh my God, I'm that old. They were touring on Cosmic Slop. It was incredible because
Gary Scheider, come on.
Gary Scheider, yeah, man. The whole crew. I mean, Eddie Hazel. I mean, Glenn Goines. I mean, it was a pretty outrageous assemblage of musicians. And one thing I remember, that George had a mohawk. He had a mohawk. It would be a few years later that I would see the mohawk come into vogue with the punk movement.
Preceding the whole fashionability of it is what you're trying to.
Yeah. And Doug Wimbish, he was with the Sugar Hill Gang. And the Sugar Hill Gang, I think they actually opened for them for the Mothership Tour. I actually interviewed George for Vibe Magazine as a kind of artist journalist thing. So the connection to George is very...
It's family-esque.
It really is. I mean, there are a number of people who've gotten to know people that defined what rock is. Mick Jagger spent a lot of time playing with Jack Bruce, my mentor, Carlos Santana. It's been a weird experience. It's been a weird experience as a fan. And their pivotal songs, mm-hmm. like Sunshine of Your Love. I was a little kid, but that riff just leaped out of the radio.
Take me to that. When I was in high school, my senior year, Cult of Personality, it's a revolutionary kind of moment on the radio. So when you're talking about hearing Sunshine, you're a kid, all these years later, this passion for loud, distorted guitar is still so much a part of your life.
You know, it's funny. Radio was massive. Everything was shrouded in mystery, and things would happen, and you weren't exactly sure why they happened. Now, everybody knows about everything. They know about payola, they know about blah, 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 they know about playlists, they know about all this stuff. When I was a really little kid, I thought the actual band was at the radio station playing the song. I said, why are they playing? Wow, they must be really tired. It was a magical process to hear something that you never heard before. We were all focused on a few outlets, a few ways of experiencing this music that was gonna change who we were. For the Doors to play on Ed Sullivan, or for the Stones to play on Ed Sullivan. Or right.
There were few channels to get to it, is what you're pointing at.
It's like the Beatles kind of set the tone, because I mean, you know, Ed Sullivan was impresario, you know, he came out of New York, he had this variety show. I mean, he had guys that spun plates. Yeah, he was a stand-up comic, have a magician. I remember he had a pickpocket one time, this is great. And from that, the Beatles, and the whole nature of what entertainment was, I mean, it was guys in tuxedos, who were very formal, and then these kids from Liverpool came, and then this wild man from Seattle with a guitar came. And then this group of people who even know who they were. Black guy playing keyboard, he sometimes played guitar, and he had a white guy playing drums, and a woman on trumpet, and it was Sly and the Family Stone. But when things came out that you'd never heard before, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, a song would come out, and someone would say something or play something, and everything would be different. You know, Stevie Wonder's Living for the City. You know, like a song breaks down and there's a skit, there's like a play in the middle of the song. You know, the cash register at the beginning of Money. How they got away with saying bullshit. When he goes, do goody good, and he says the word, and it came on the radio. They couldn't decipher the English accent. Somehow, before the censors got to it, I remember hearing it without it being beeped. It was an art of possibility. And all these different styles, all of it just affected me. The other thing too is that it wasn't defined for me as white or black music. You know, my parents didn't define things that way. And it's partly because they're Caribbean immigrants and they were taking in America that wasn't their history.
Right, it wasn't a black American culture, multiple generations. You were seeing it from a complete outside way.
Yeah, so hearing the Dave Clark Five, my mother was a fan of the Dave Clark Five and the British Invasion bands. So hearing that, it was just music. But I was also, like, anytime James Brown made a move, I had to go to the record store and get the single. All of these different things, Al Green and James Brown, but the Stones, and just were part of the landscape.
Who made you want to get the guitar?
Carlos Santana. Black Magic Woman, Gypsy Queen. He has said that he really is a big fan of Dionne Warwick. And Dionne Warwick is a vocalist that affected me a great deal. And he said, oh, I wanted my guitar to sound like Dionne Warwick's voice. I heard Carlos first, then somebody said, oh man, you like Carlos? You have to hear this record. It was the Band of Gypsies record. My discovery of Hendrix sent me backwards into what he did.
You mentioned Sly demographically to have the multiracial, multigender kind of thing. And we just lost him this past weekend. A humongous force and a band that similarly had black dudes and white dudes together and eventually even Hispanic dudes in the modern day version of the Allmans. I'm thinking of Greg.
Yeah, man. Greg Allman and Chris Cornell. You know, Greg had been struggling for a long time health-wise, but something like Whipping Post, a song like Whipping Post, it was a revolutionary thing. Just saying Whipping Post acknowledges slavery in a very direct kind of way, in a way that was really not done by American bands. And just the makeup of the band, the musicianship, they forged the path. And then Little Feat and all the other bands that came. I mean, the whole Southern rock thing, I mean, doesn't happen without the Allman.
And Elizabeth Reed, dude, that version of that on the Fillmore.
Memory of Mary Elizabeth Reed is funny because that's actually my mother's name. Wow. Well, the Reed spelled differently, but then my mother's still in Brooklyn, yay.
Final question before we go. You and I were talking earlier today about what a cool diversity that the Blue Note is offering with all these bands, and you were saying they may not do it again after this show.
Well, that's life. I mean, we are who we are.
You don't modulate the intensity at all for a venue like this.
No, you know, we've done acoustic shows. This is not going to be one of them. So.
Really enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you, too. I mean, I just bounced from
groove to groove. Yeah. Vernon Reed, it's Living Color at the Blue Note, and being a part of the show here on ATC with me, I really appreciate it and had a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me, and this is my first time in Hawaii, so this is very special. Thank you. Aloha, it's Vernon Reed of Living Color. We're in a great place with our friend David Lawrence.
the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.